This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Today is World Health Day, and it's a day that BFM has been commemorating across our programming throughout the day. And for our Health and Living segment today, we'll be looking at what healthcare workers have been dealing with. Now, they have been, of course, battling at the front lines of the COVID-19 pandemic for more than a year now. We hear stories of them having to don restrictive PPEs throughout the whole day of working. They're constantly worrying about the risk of contracting COVID-19. They are working long hours. Their mental health, has been a challenge for them, all the while ensuring that quality healthcare is still provided to all of us who still need it. So in conjunction with World Health Day today, we want to look back on 2020. And I'm speaking today to two of many of our healthcare workers, and we're talking to two of them to find out how they are surviving the pandemic, what they have seen and learned in 2020, and most importantly, how they're coping emotionally and mentally. So on the show with me today, Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the intensive care unit at University Malaya Medical Center, and Dr. Sean Tham, medical officer, as well as member of the board of advisors at Malaysian Medics International. How are the both of you today, Suguna and Dr. Sean?
Hi, good afternoon.
All right. To all of you listening, if you have any questions, perhaps, that you'd like to find out from Dr. Sean and Suguna, how they've been dealing with. But more importantly, I think many of you have had experiences of coming into contact with the healthcare system, with health workers, doctors, nurses, and the likes. Share your story with us. How have they helped you in whatever health circumstances or condition it was that you saw them, whether it was a positive or negative experience. We'd love to hear from you. You can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Even if you just want to give a shout out to a healthcare worker that you've come across. Now, perhaps we can start by hearing more from each of our guests today. Suguna, can I start with you? Do tell us a bit more about yourself. What do you do at UMMC?
Hey, hi everyone. I'm Suguna Gunasagaran. I'm a nurse, staff nurse working in ICU of UMMC for about 10 years now.
All right.
So I also did my further study in post-basic of critical care nursing. So since then, I'm in ICU postgraduate.
All right. And why did you want to become a nurse, Suguna?
Actually, it's not to say I really interested or anything, but it just came and I just accept it. And it's like it's my habit to do the best in whatever I take. So maybe that's why till now I can be a nurse still.
All right. And what would you say is something that's really satisfying or fulfilling about being a nurse?
It's actually when we see the condition of the patients is improving, and when from the initial state they come to us very ill, but slowly when they improve, they're able to come to their normal state. It really makes us happy. Oh, we did it. We're able to save this patient. So that's the most happiest things, actually.
All right. Now, Dr. Sean, coming to you, tell us a bit about what you do in medicine and why did you choose to go into medicine?
Hi, my name is Sean. I'm a doctor in the Department of Psychiatry in hospital in the Klang Valley. Why I choose to enter medicine is because I feel that I want to provide service to the people, and medicine is a platform for me to utilize my knowledge, my skills to actually help people and make people better. And that is the reason why I went to medicine, to try to help people better.
Mm. And into psychiatry specifically, can you tell us what prompted that decision?
Yes, because we have been, through my observation, I've been thinking that a lot of people are facing more and more stress, and this stress can come from your work, can come from your school. And these are things that can allow, can cause people to actually feel many emotions. And all these stresses, if we are not able to manage them properly, manage them well, it may lead to further conditions in our people. And that's something that I feel very important. And I would like to focus my energy, my efforts onto making the country a better place for people with such conditions.
All right. That's great. Can I ask you though, Sean, how did people around you respond when you said that you wanted to, pursue psychiatry specifically? Is it something that perhaps your family members or your friends were accepting of?
I'm very fortunate in the sense that I have been surrounded by people who are very supportive of my decisions, my actions, and they are actually very accepting of my decision to go into psychiatry.
All right.
So,
okay. So, Sean, I hear that you had volunteered to go to Sabah when the pandemic was at its worst in the state, and we know that things were really bad towards the end of last year. So, tell us a bit about what you did when you were in Sabah.
Right. When I was in Sabah, I was actually sent to this place called a low-risk quarantine center, where all patients, everyone who has been diagnosed with COVID-19 would be sent over there. Now, these patients, after we send them here, we have to screen their condition. If their condition is quite severe, we do have to send them to tertiary centers where they are able to receive ICU and more specialized care. But for patients who are at the more milder stages, stages 1, 2, and 3, they are able to seek treatment in our center. What I do on a day-to-day basis is quite similar to what everybody else is doing in the country. We see the patients, we take the history, find out what their issues are. If they have got any symptoms, we try to manage those symptoms. We do examination, meaning we check them, listen to their lungs, listen to their heart, see if there's any issues. Take investigations, we look at their blood results, we look at the x-rays, and we try to, if there's any abnormalities, try to treat them, manage them, and also provide management, which is not only just those that give by medications, but also those in terms of their mental health. So like if there's someone who is feeling stressed, I was there to provide an ear and to provide some sort of counselling.
All right. Now, we've heard so much about how bad it was in Sabah and how strained the healthcare system was. So specifically at the centre where you were at, how bad was it? How many people were you seeing in a day, that kind of thing?
My center is actually a rather small one. We had a maximum capacity of about 200 beds. When the situation was rather bad, we actually had tens of people coming in every day. It wasn't full to the brim, but it was close to full. And every day, we discharge patients home, a similar amount of patients would come in during those spots. So those were the actual worries, when number of patients, no matter how many you discharge, the number of patients still remain around the same. That's the situation.
Yeah. And Suguna, so Sean talked about he was seeing more of the stage 1 and stage 2 patients before they, those who are not so severe. But your work is at the severe end of things, right? You're in the ICU. So, when did you start, having to deal with managing COVID-19 patients?
Because it's what? My first day, and everyone was eagerly waiting for the result, like I mentioned just now. When it turned out to be positive, we never expected it. But slowly, we try to, we still, they are our patient, we have to take care of them. So we continued our job. Only that, it's same only, the routine for taking care of the patient is same. Only we have to alter a bit the way of managing them, and we have to plan our work properly before attending them. That's what changes. And more importantly, we can't attend that patient without wearing a proper PPE. All that's makes us to change. So after that, slowly keep on continuously, I'm taking care of COVID patient until now itself. So it's become a routine for me for past 1 year.
All right. And, back in the beginning of it all, it was maybe a small number of patients trickling in, right? But how many are you dealing with now?
We just started with 2 beds in ICU during early stage, but slowly it turned to be 4 beds, and it became more worse towards the end of first outbreak. We increased the bed up to 8 beds, but we able to manage with 8 beds in ICU for that moment. But end of last year, during our second outbreak, mm-hmm. whereby we have to increase the bed, ICU critical beds, to up to 14 beds in UMMC. So it makes us to change to a new ward. We have to bring all our things and move to another ward, set up a new ward, especially for COVID ICU patients. So that's all happens when the increase in flow of patients.
Suguna, were you afraid or worried when you first started having to manage COVID-19 patients?
If I say I never afraid, it will be a lie. Mm. For sure, me and my friends all a bit afraid during our first stage like that. But slowly, after daily we deal with them, we already have to take care of ourselves. So, and we have to help them. It's only they depend on us. So we try to manage and cope with the situation and able to do it. So far, so good.
All right. And what about you, Dr. Sean? Are you still dealing with COVID-19 patients currently?
Hi. No, I've not dealt with COVID-19 patients since I came back from Sabah.
Oh, okay.
That was in December last year.
All right. So we've been hearing quite a bit about, Suguna and Dr. Sean's sort of day-to-day, especially in the context of when they've had to deal with managing COVID-19 patients, particularly for Suguna, of course. She's a staff nurse in ICU. We'll go for a quick break, and when we come back, we'll continue the conversation to find out more from them what have been the challenges that they have been dealing with throughout the past year. And we want to delve a bit more into sort of the psychosocial, the emotional challenges. What has the stress been like and how you've coped with it? How you think other healthcare workers, what kind of support do they need to cope with this? It's our show commemorating World Health Day today. And I'm speaking to Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the ICU in the University of Malaya Medical Center, and Dr. Sean Tham, a medical officer at the Department of Psychiatry in a hospital in Klang Valley, and also a member of the Board of Advisors with Malaysian Medics International. Now, we'd love to hear from you if you can share your stories related to your experiences dealing with doctors or nurses, something that we can share with our guests today to continue to give them support, to encourage them, because they are doing such a challenging job. You can call us 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We'll be back after this short break. Stay tuned to BFM 89.9. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Ik. On the show with me today, Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the Intensive Care Unit at University Malaya Medical Center, as well as Dr. Sean Tham, a medical officer and member of the Board of Advisors at Malaysian Medics International. It's World Health Day today, and for our Health and Living segment, we're shining the spotlight on how healthcare workers have been battling at the front lines of COVID-19 and how they've been coping. Now, if you'd like to share any words of encouragement for all the healthcare workers out there, you can call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. We've already heard a fair bit from Suguna, who's talked about what it was like when they received their first COVID-19 patient at the ICU in UMMC last year. We've also heard from Dr. Sean, who volunteered at a low-risk quarantine centre in Sabah last year during the height of the wave there, the outbreak over there, and what he was involved in doing. So, using that as our reference, Suguna, what would you say were some challenges? What were the most difficult aspects and has been the most difficult aspects of being involved in COVID-19 care?
Actually, I take it as an experience for me. But even though all the hardness, all that, we still able to learn something. The most difficult time at the initial period was the doning and doffing for us. whereby we have to learn it and have must remember it so that we can take care of ourselves. It's very important in taking care of the patient. But another thing was when we was wearing the PPE, we will be like totally drenched out when we come out of the room, and we have to take bath, all that to clean. Doning and doffing is one of the main thing that a new skill also for us to learn. Other than that, we have to plan the work more accurately for COVID patient. Like the time management and work planning was very important that moment. We can't simply go inside the room without any planning. We have to plan our work accordingly so that we can perform it in a short period, or then we have to come out. Then we want to minimize the contact with the COVID patient. So the work planning was very important for us. Like, it's different from compared to other patients. Other than that, new skills that we learned and was challenging for us is a prone position. It's a position whereby the patient will lie flat with the chest down and back up. So this is a procedure whereby we usually done for ICU patients in a very ill lung condition. We call it ARDS. But this proning position is a main treatment for all COVID patients. So we have to keep on teaching the junior nurses all these procedures. We have to make sure them to learn this position. So this is the time for us to improve the skill in proning. Yeah. And say that all the things that we together as a team, we really learn in this proning position. Other than that, I can say the communication between patient and family improve also. At the initial period, it was very challenging for us because we can't come in contact with the patient's relative. But it was very difficult for us in managing critical ill patient. We have to have family's opinion on their beloved one condition. So later on, we able to manage it, whereby we always update the family members via the phone, so they will know their beloved's condition daily. Then we have our own ways of communicating with them. Even with patients also, we let them to communicate with the family members. So initial state, everything was a bit difficult, but when we move on, it's turned out to be easier for us now.
So I guess in that situation, you were not just doing your nursing and care duties. You almost became like another family member to the patients, right? Because they didn't have their loved ones with them. So you have to comfort them. Was that difficult?
It was a bit different from what from other patients. But they tend to be very close to us after a few days. Because they saw us daily, they almost can remember all of us. Because COVID patient will stay in ICU for quite long duration compared to other patients. So they tend to tell about their emotions, and they able to seek help from us. They can ask anything from us.
Okay. And Dr. Sean, what about you? What were some challenges or perhaps some good or bad memories from when you were dealing with, looking at your experience at the front lines in Sabah, but also generally observing your colleagues in healthcare and how they've been dealing with COVID-19? What would you say have been the greatest challenges for healthcare workers?
Right. So for this, I think to answer this question, I'll go into the physical and the psychological aspects of things. The physical part has been explained by Suguna really succinctly just now. Having had to put on all this layer upon layer of personal protective equipment, and also, being inside for multiple hours, that is the most challenging physical aspect. Not everybody can do it. I've seen a lot of people having issues, whereby they have to leave earlier because of the immense physical toll that it takes on the body. And that's really
challenging.
Very difficult. Challenging period for me. But in terms of the psychological challenge. Now, that's the more heavy thing that I see among our staff, lah. Because, you know, at one point, the numbers were just skyrocketing and it's going up and not coming down. And when you, as a healthcare worker, you know, what you can do as a person on the ground is that you can only see the patients that you come into contact. So meaning, whichever patient that come in front of you, you know, this is a patient that you're treating, you can make this person well, but you are not in control of what's happening around you in that entire country. And because numbers are going up and not coming down, you tend to feel very worried, you know, concerned. Is the efforts that you're putting in worth it? Because, you know, you are doing your best, but the numbers are still remaining high. One thing, you know, getting sometimes, and how we feel is that even wanting to go to work is difficult because you know that you are entering what we call the battle zone, the battlefield, whereby you know that area is full of COVID patients. You are wondering if you are able to, you know, if your efforts is enough. And of course, another part of psychological challenge would be about the fear of contracting the virus yourself. Because you're meeting patients who have the virus, you know that anything, you know, any mistake that you make, if you have worn your PPE incorrectly, or if you have, you know, accidentally, you know, just brush somewhere, then you may bring the virus home. And when you go home, you are worried that you bring it back to your parents or your family members. And that's the most worrying part of things. So the fear is obviously the worst part of thing. But the good part of the thing is that it shows that, you know, Malaysians, you know, we healthcare workers, we are actually, all of us are working together to combat this pandemic. And that is actually a very treasured memory, because when all of you, you know, your friends, you're working together, providing care together, that's something very positive that I see.
All right. Do you have personal direct experience in that that fear that you talked about, where you're worried you're going to bring it back to your family members, for instance? And we heard about some healthcare workers who stayed away from their children or their elderly parents. They chose not to see them for months because they didn't want to risk exposing them. Were you in that situation?
In a way, I would say yes, because when I was in Johor, when I served in the COVID field in Johor, I do go home to my parents' place, and what I do is I have to take a lot of precautions. You know, make sure that if you bathe yourself properly. You know, before going home, I would bathe myself with a special shampoo called Chlorhexidine first, and then when I go home, I bathe again before I do anything. I try to keep a distance, you know, from my family. My brother, you know, we used to stay in the same room. He moved downstairs because these are a few precautions that are necessary. They're necessary.
All right.
And we have to adhere to these steps.
What about you, Suguna? Did you have to go through this to keep your family safe?
I can say I just miss them because I never go back, never went back for such a long period, almost like up to six months. But since I'm single and staying alone, it doesn't make a cost problem. But for my most of colleagues, they experience this by themselves, as there are certain mothers who can't come in close with their children, can't take care of them. They minimize contact with their family members until staying alone inside a room. This all at the initial state, they face the difficulty for this kind of missing them but can't come in contact with them.
Yeah. And do you feel the same kind of frustration that Sean was talking about, where, especially for you, Suguna, you're treating and managing patients who are so vulnerable, right? They need so much care, and you can see there is why COVID-19 is so dangerous. And yet when you look around, there are some people who don't take it seriously, who don't realize. Do you feel frustrated when you see these kinds of things?
It was like, for the initial state, we have to deal with the patients. So we just take care of ourselves much better. we really become conscious when taking care, when handling them, giving nursing care, we pay extra caution. But when the numbers is keep on increasing, we feel, is it whatever we are doing is not improving the health, improving the health of the outsider? Why it still keep on increasing? We feel at a point we feel that, but when it's become an outbreak, we can't say anything. We have still have to move on with the challenge and give our best to take care of them. That's what I experience most. But it tends to be certain my colleagues become very stressful until they say they can't manage in taking care of this patient. Mm-hmm. They want to leave this group. But that moment, we will support each other. That's the most important thing between us. We give moral support to all of us, because we can't share anything to other people. We share among us. We give advice to each other. When there's someone very ill or anything, we just concern about them, give them advice. So that's how we cope with stress and challenges.
All right. I'm speaking to Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the Intensive Care Unit in University Malaya Medical Center, and Dr. Sean Tham, a medical officer and member of the Board of Advisors with Malaysian Medics International. It's World Health Day today, and I'm speaking to the both of them to find out how they've been coping during this pandemic, what have been the challenges. Sounds like a lot. And also at the same time, it sounds like our healthcare workers are so stoic, they're so strong, they're just constantly trying to do the best they can. But that will bring me to another point when we come back from this break, where I want to ask you, Dr. Sean, how much can a healthcare worker continue to be stoic, right? And if they have trouble reaching out for support, what would you advise for them to do? So we'll come back and find out more about that. If you have anything you'd like to share with us, do call us at 03-7733-2900, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or tweet us at BFM Radio. Good afternoon. Welcome back to Health and Living with me, T. Xiao Yik. Joining me on the show today, Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the ICU in University Malaya Medical Center, and Dr. Sean Tham, a medical officer and also a member of the Board of Advisors with Malaysian Medics International. It's World Health Day today, and we're finding out more about how they have been coping with being at the front lines of the pandemic. Definitely for somebody like Suguna, she has been right at the front lines because she's an ICU nurse, so she's managing the care of COVID-19 patients who are in need of intensive care. For Dr. Sean, he was volunteering at the low-risk quarantine center in Sabah, and now being a medical officer at a department of psychiatry in a hospital here in Klang Valley, he would have first-hand experience with issues of stress and mental health, as he had explained earlier. Now, Dr. Sean, Suguna talked about how for her and members of her team and her friends, it was challenging, but it was all about continuing, doing your best, because there are still patients in front of you who need the care and you can't afford to give up on them. Now, that kind of stoicism is so admirable, but also must take such a huge toll on healthcare workers. From your experience, are healthcare workers the ones who have it the most challenging when it comes to reaching out for support, when it comes to saying, I can't cope, I need help?
Well, I think, I don't think we are the most, I don't think we are the most, but of course we do find it very difficult to seek for help, because none of us want to look, like we are weak. No, none of us want to look like we are vulnerable. But of course, we have to understand that it is not, it's not shameful, it's not embarrassing to seek for help when you require help. Now, dealing with a huge amount of stress, huge amount of workload every day, the key word here is being able to cope with things. And of course, different people have got different capacities and different abilities to cope with the stresses that come in their way. But when stress comes, and stress will eventually come, we this prolonged stress may lead to a condition called what we call burnout. And burnout may manifest in different forms. So physical form, you know, we may have aches, pains, and where we may have some gastrointestinal issues. And this falls under the physical aspect. The psychological aspect, you know, when someone feels overwhelmed and this stress comes, you know, in waves, and these waves don't seem to stop, you may actually find yourself, you know, being tired all the time, not even able to, you know, come up with the energy to do something. You may be having some mood issues, whereby your mood may be low all the time. You don't feel happy. You don't feel that whatever you do can make you feel better. But a very important thing for us is for us to be able to recognize that, you know, this is actually a situation which is very common, because all of us will face this kind of issues at any point of time. And the most important thing is actually to speak out, to get people aware that you are in this situation, to reach out, look for help, and also to seek help. So it's very important for us to, you know, voice out and get help when you require it.
All right. You know, does the Malaysian Medics International, for instance, or any other organizations provide some sort of support, systematic support for healthcare workers, you know, recognizing the unique challenges that they go through?
For this kind of help, actually, the Malaysian Medical Association, MMA, do provide this service called Help Doc for doctors, whereby if anyone is feeling such stresses from, especially from mental health issues, you can approach them. Of course, to go a little bit more broader, we do have befrienders at the ready. If anyone has got this kind of feeling, you know, in this kind of situation, they are able to approach befrienders where counseling can be made on the phone free of charge.
All right. And Suguna, you talked about how your team, you know, you supported each other. But did you find that there were situations where just within your circle, the support was not enough, and maybe some of you needed more help? Were you able to find that support?
So far, for all my colleagues, those who are working, we able to have our own support group whereby we share our problems. When the day was very hectic, we try to share what's happened and try to communicate to each other. We started to communicate more compared to the usual time when we were working. So that was the biggest support for us. But for those who were more stressed, like I mentioned before, we try to give them leave, or we avoid them. We avoid them in taking care of COVID patients. We'll try to exchange them with different people. We had this kind of support for those who really can't handle the COVID patients, and those who survive until now in this team is the not say we can say that we able to cope well with that.
All right, your team.
Go through the experience, I guess.
You're the A team. But, you know, after more than, well, it's been more than 1 year, hasn't it? Are you exhausted, Suguna?
Now I can say not really. Compared to the second outbreak time, daily with overflowing of patients, with a lot of things to do, we with less people sometimes, because even the healthcare workers were infected with the virus. That moment is really hectic and feel like, oh, I'm really exhausted. I can't rest well also, even I have time also. So that was the most exhausted time for us. Even we can't go back at the same correct time. Even the shift is over also, we have to take our own time to take bath, clean ourselves, manage everything. After go back again, we take bath. The routine really changed, and until even I experienced a lot of hair loss, skin, dry skin, all that makes like, oh, when is this going to end? That is the moment really feel hectic with this COVID-19.
Are you worried that this might happen again? I mean, things seem a bit stable now, but are you worried of another wave and this kind of numbers going up again?
Since it's going down, I already feel like very happy and satisfied. So hopefully it's remain the same. But if there is a chance, we can't say anything. But now we already, the government already giving the vaccination and even all the frontliner already getting all the doses. So hopefully when everybody, all the nation get their vaccination, hopefully we can try to improve the condition, hopefully.
All right. Have you gotten your vaccination, Suguna?
I completed my 2 doses of vaccination already.
All right. And you feel okay?
I feel like, okay, I already take, and I'm keep on saying to all others also to ensure must take their vaccination. It's a way to protect yourself. That's what I'm really encouraging outsider.
All right. And what about you, Dr. Sean? Have you gotten your jab?
Yeah, I've gotten both jabs just a couple of days away from being fully vaccinated.
The protection. And, you know, what would be your message for people regarding the vaccination?
Vaccination is a no-brainer. Please go get vaccinated. Register for the vaccine first because the vaccines are not ready yet. But not only that, help your friends and family sign up for vaccination. We can't reach herd immunity if you don't get 70 to 80, more than 80% of Malaysians, you know, involved. So we really have to do this. We only have got one shot at this. Let's try not to screw it up.
That's right. Maybe just on a parting note, you know, when you look back, if it's like years has passed, when you look back at this time, what do you think you'll remember most about it, Suguna?
Remember the most. I can say there was an experience whereby the patient was very critically ill, needs the support to the maximum level. Then suddenly the patient turned out to be improving and able to wean down from the ventilators, able to wean down the oxygen therapy, even the normal oxygen therapy, exercise, feed by himself. It's a moment that really makes all of us happy, that moment. We feel the happiest that moment. Okay, and the moment he transferred from the ICU to the normal ward, he able to say thank you to us, that's the most memorable moment for me.
All right. And what about you, Dr. Sean? What do you think you will remember most about this time?
For me, it would be the ability of Malaysians to come together and unite for a common cause. You know, remember back in the first MCO, you know, things were very bleak. Malaysians were coming together, we're helping each other. We're doing things beyond their limits just to allow, you know, to support the frontliners. And we've been very flattered with the amount of appreciation that we are receiving from the public. Thank you very much. This actually shows me that, you know, when you actually do good work, people actually support it. And it just showed me that, you know, Malaysians as a whole do appreciate our work. I'm really grateful about that.
We definitely appreciate your work. Even though sometimes it may feel like nobody's listening to you, but I think it comes through in every action that you do in your jobs. Thank you so much for speaking to me today. I've been speaking to Suguna Gunasagaran, staff nurse at the Intensive Care Unit, University Malaya Medical Center, and Dr. Sean Tham, medical officer and member of the Board of Advisors of Malaysian Medics International. You've been listening to Health and Living, Bigger Picture, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.